Welcome to Demystify Magic with Molly and Madison.
I'm Molly, a former skeptic turned full-time energy healer and teacher.
And I'm Madison, a born and raised witch running my family's crystal shop.
And we're here to explore all things woo through the lens of both science and spirituality so that you can find the moments of magic in your everyday life and create an intentional spiritual practice.
So if that's what you're into, find a cozy spot, take a deep breath, and let's demystify some magic. Howdy doody, friends.
Howdy and a doody, and howdy do.
If there is no better metaphor for today's episode than that sound you just experienced. Today's one of those days where I wish that we would just start. I wish we would just press record as soon as we get on Zoom with each other, because if you guys could have heard how we came to the conclusion of this episode, it's peak content. Today, we are making a very specific, very niche episode mm-hmm. of Demystify Magic for you. Really, we're making the podcast that we need be the podcast that you wish to be in the world, you know? Today, we are giving you low effort rituals for creativity for when you are in a piss poor mood.
Yeah.
And you might think, Madison, Molly, how did you come to that conclusion that that was the episode that you were going to make today? Like, what's your inspiration? You know, what's your muse for times like this? And it's that Molly and I are in a piss poor mood and we need to be creative.
You know, we always said this is a podcast mostly about our own experiences.
Uh-huh. And if we're going to be one thing, it's honest.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, last time we did an episode when we were in a piss poor mood, it was our low effort energy shifting rituals. And that's like one of your favorite episodes.
Exactly.
Top yeah. four.
Uh-huh. So when we sat down today, after 30 minutes of tech workshopping and said we're in a piss poor mood, we decided we had to push through because you guys apparently love it.
You love it.
When we have no more fucks left to give.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's going to be one of those days. So strap in.
So here we are. But first, Molly, what's your magic moment this week?
Okay. My magic moment just happened. So as you know, I'm in the end of one Reiki training, in the middle of the second Reiki training. And because I have such a big class this year, I have 86 US-based certificates to send out, which, okay, so in the past, when I first started doing Reiki training, to send these certificates out, I would go to the post office and I would hand them to Peter at the post office. He's retiring soon, so bless his soul. I would hand them to Peter, this older gentleman, and the first couple of times he would scan them all individually and they'd all be the same price and he would stick the stickers on, whatever. But that, if you've ever had to do that, it takes forever because he has to type in the zip code for every single one and I have to check like that it's not filled with batteries and shit. Well, the last time I went, last fall, he just handed me a book of stamps. He's like, it's $1.98 to send this mailing. So here are four sheets of stamps. You're going to put one of each on every single one of these envelopes. And I was like, okay, Peter, got it.
Thanks, Peter.
So then I started buying $2 stamps because I was like, okay, I can buy $2 stamps. But my post office only has like, they only had 13 when I went in the other day and I need like 80. And so I tried to order them on the post office and I ordered so many stamps, they thought I was trying to scam them. They deleted my order and refunded me without telling me. So the other day I was like, where the fuck are all my stamps? I swear I spent $200 on stamps at the beginning of the season. I was so prepared. I had it in my calendar and everything. Did I lose them? No, they canceled my order because they thought I was like trying to scam the post office. So your girl bought a thermal printer to print stamps at home. And I thought, what better time to do that than, you know, in the middle of Mercury retrograde when I need these sent out like yesterday.
10 minutes before you're supposed to get on Zoom with me.
10 minutes before you get on Zoom, I decide now's a good time to set this printer up. And I don't know if y'all have ever been to stamps.com. I understand that they sponsor podcasts, so I don't want to trash them too hard, but their website is from like the late 90s. The tutorial I found to set this thing up is 12 years old. The file I had to download hasn't been updated since 2017. Like, it's not good. And so I get on Zoom with Madison and I'm just at my wit's end. I'm just like, just for this breath, I will not throw this printer across the Atlantic Ocean. And Madison, my lovely Gen Z friend, Googles how to do it. And within about 15 minutes, I now have printed my first stamp. So all of you in Reiki 1 this season, you can thank Madison for the fact that you will get your certificate on time.
Because from the look on your face when we got on this call, it was looking iffy. It was looking iffy, as if we were going to have certificates at all this season.
I was about to get, so I have like a roll of 100 forever stamps, and I have in the past just like stamped 5 of them on because I've been so frustrated. I don't want to go into the post office. And I was like, I wonder how many I'd need to do all of these. But this is much more efficient, so.
I'm so happy for you.
What was your magic moment?
Okay. I got a phone call the other day from friend of the podcast, Kelly. If you've been listening before, she's a recurring character.
Hi, Kelly.
She made the crochet tiger that I got Molly for Christmas.
Infamous tiger.
She's my best friend's older sister who I adopted by force like 15 years ago. She called me the other day from a Joanne Fabrics parking lot where she had been buying yarn. And she did like the buy online pickup in store where they like bring it to your car. And she told me she was listening to the most recent episode of the podcast. And the woman who came to like bring her yarn to her saw on the little screen on her car what she was listening to and said, oh my God, you're listening to Demystify Magic? I love that podcast. And I lost my marbles.
Dear friend who works at Joanne Fabrics, slide into our DMs. We need to know who you are.
In Gainesville, Florida, the Joanne Fabrics employee who listens to this podcast, one, thank you for making my day. Two, thank you for making Kelly's day because she got to share the joy of having made the tiger. And especially, it was so fitting that she was going to pick up yarn. I'm like, this is just such a perfect, like, tender, wholesome moment. It made my day. It made my week. And I feel like this very specific phenomenon only happens to me when I'm like in a piss poor mood.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were like reorganizing the bookshelves at Spellcrafter when she called me. And I was like huffing and puffing and hauling books and like trying to problem solve. I'm like, oh, what does Kelly need? Is Kelly okay? Is everyone okay? Because that's immediately what I go to when anybody calls me.
Sure.
And to just have a little joy deposit, a little moment of happiness and joy. It was so, so fun and funny and lovely, and it made my day.
We love that. We love that. If you ever have a story like that, please tell us.
Yeah. Shout out to Joanne Fabrics.
Yeah.
For bringing people together.
This podcast is sponsored by
notstamps.com.
No.
My favorite part of your magic moment was that you went into it and it literally sounded like the ads that I hear on other podcasts for stamps.com of like, are you tired of going to the post office?
Don't go to stamps.com. I'm going back to Peter next time. Like, if this thing didn't work, I was about to be like, Pete, strap in.
This podcast is brought to you by Peter.
May he retire in peace.
Okay. Let's get started.
Poor Peter. What if next time I go in there and he's like, oh, I listen to Demystify Magic.
My first thought was, with our luck, Peter is a dedicated listener.
What if one of his employees is, there is like kind of a witchy person who works at the counter.
Listen, if you're listening and you know Peter, zip it.
Zip it.
If our secrets aren't safe with you, then I don't know who they're safe with. Thousands of people who listen to this podcast, it's on the public domain.
Woo.
I don't know. I trust y'all. Anyways, let's get started. Yeah. So we've compiled a little list of all of the things that first came to mind for us when we were like, okay, how can we get ourselves out of this piss poor mood and stimulate stimulate some creative energy. And Molly's laughing at me.
I was just listening to the last episode to review. And there's one where you're like, pa, 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 pa. And I go, pa, 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 pa. And it just reminded me of that.
One thing I'm going to do is stumble over my words. And one thing Molly's going to do is make a little song about it.
Mm. Yep.
That's just who we are as people.
That's who we are. That gets me out of a creative rut.
Uh-huh. Honestly, making fun of me, I get it.
No. making songs.
But anyways, speaking of last week's episode, mm-hmm. we're going to call it back because the first thing on our list is candle magic.
Look at that segue. I just made that segue.
You did. Thank you for setting me up for that. So if you want a little bit more on candle magic and you haven't listened yet, go back to last week's episode where we do a total deep dive. But lighting a candle for creativity, I do make a creativity and inspiration spell candle. I'm a fan. I like it.
My fave.
But even if you just have a yellow candle or an orange candle or even red is a great color for creativity and inspiration and like passion and moving forward. It's a great red for me really does like signify forward momentum, which is great for a piss poor mood.
Mm-hmm.
But lighting a candle, especially we talked last episode about the idea of lighting a tea light and doing whatever task it is until the tea light burns down. That's also a great tip for trying to simulate creativity when you're maybe not feeling it is just saying, you know, just for this next, what is it, an hour that a tea light takes mm-hmm. to burn from top to bottom, I'm going to set my own shit aside and move through this. And, you know, creativity for me is also a really great way to get out of a piss poor mood. It's like as mm-hmm. soon as we press record and we're like, you know, tee-heeing and giggling and talking about our magic moments, I'm like, oh, yeah, like everything's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading an article where they didn't use this word, but they said that basically like part of the creative process is piddling a little bit mm-hmm. because you need to kind of like. Because I feel like we try to approach creativity so much like we try to approach everything else in our capitalistic society where it's like, I have to be productive. I have to get it all done. When in reality, like a little tee-hee, a little ha-ha, a little silly episode may be like your number four most popular episode,
mm-hmm.
you know? And maybe you don't approach it by saying you have to make the best episode of your entire podcast career. Maybe just approach it and saying like, if I tee-hee ha-ha, maybe the person listening will also tee-hee ha-ha. And if mm-hmm. they're in a piss-poor mood and it helps me out of my piss-poor mood, maybe it'll help them too.
Yeah. My mom and I actually talk about that concept of piddling all the time. Piddle is probably like my number three most used word of the year.
What do you think the other ones are? Wait, let me guess. Okay. We got piddle. Uh-huh. We got hundo P.
Hundo P is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that would make stinky. Like top three. Stinky is probably a big one. Are we taking out words like the and and?
Yeah. Okay. I'm taking just Madisonisms.
Yeah. Piddle is probably number two or number three. And then I would say hundo P is right below piddle.
Mm-hmm.
But stinky is probably my top descriptor word of all time.
Nailed it.
It's just such an all-encompassing word. But anyways.
What do you think mine are?
Ooh. Oh, God. Bestie is probably number one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Geek it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And Bonktown.
Bonktown. Yeah. Yeah. I do describe things as Bonktown.
We are co-mayors of Bonktown right now.
Co-mayors of Bonktown. Welcome to Bonktown. Other thing on candle magic, I think any citrus smell is great for creativity because they're so cleansing and uplifting. So they like energize, but also clear out the stagnant energy. So even if you don't have a quote unquote spell candle, if you have anything in the citrus family, that's going to be a great one. Or I even think like for me, pine, like balsam smells feel really like creative because I always like associate that with like Christmas decorations, and Christmas decorations feel really creative because like Martha Stewart's really creative. And so like
that's one hell of a connector.
I thought I was making a universal statement, and then I realized, no, this is a highly specific statement I'm making.
But it is that's a good one, honestly. That's a it's a good little peek into your brain. Also, something a pro tip that we did not include in our Candle Magic episode that I thought of literally right after we finished recording is that if you have a candle that you love that brings forth a certain feeling for you, did we talk about this in the episode? Maybe we did, but it's like from Target or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a citrus candle that you always have burning in your kitchen when you're cooking and it fires you up, you can literally just carve a sigil into that candle that you already have, sprinkle some herbs in it if you want to, do some Reiki on it, give it some intention right on the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. That's a spell candle.
Yeah, or you could just designate the scent with the association and mm-hmm. skip the elaborate ritual, which is what I do. I'm like, oh, this balsam and cedar candle, this is now my creativity candle because mm-hmm. it reminds me of Christmas decorations.
And Martha Stewart. When I'm channeling my Martha Stewart energy,
I go with balsam and cedar.
We love to see it.
Next.
Next. Okay. Next up, we have got oils, which for me kind of ties into candles, mostly because the scent that I have for the creativity and inspiration oil that sits right on my desk where we record is the same as the candle. And so for me, they're the same thing. But mm-hmm. oil roll-ons are a great way to bring that kind of energy with you. Also, I like kind of lump oils in with perfumes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything that like is aromatherapy that brings forward, because scent is like our strongest smell that connects to memory.
Yeah.
And so if you have any certain scent that connects you to a certain time or a certain feeling, mm-hmm. finding a way to make that portable is a really great way to stimulate creativity wherever you are if you need it.
Yeah. And if you don't have an oil and you don't have a candle and you still want to bring scent into the equation, you can do a cute little simmer pot.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you know me, you know I'm all about the simmer pot. I really like, when I am in a piss poor mood, I really like combining lemon and orange, because orange just feels like really bright. It's really energizing. And lemon is just like, it just cuts through the shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally, I will also toss some grapefruit in and just make it a big old citrus menagerie.
Ooh.
Mm.
Mm. Something else that goes great with that I put on the creativity and inspiration candle is cinnamon. I love a good cinnamon mm-hmm. and citrus combination moment.
It's really grounding too, because I feel like I have this recipe kind of I've been playing with, this idea of like, people always ask me how I make my simmer pots and they're all very intuitive, but I sort of had three categories of energy that things float into. We have like the very light lifted energy, that's like your citruses. And then we have sort of like a medium energy that sort of like imbues the space with intention. That's like your peppermint, your rosemary. And then the grounding forces that kind of tie everything together is like the clove, the cinnamon, the gingers, the star anise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working on it, but I really like a citrus with a cinnamon or a clove, because then it just helps ground it, so you're not too like all over the place. And then throw some salt for protection.
She's always going to get her little song and dance in.
Get my little song and dance in.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to take Reiki too?
I already took Reiki too.
But she killed me live on air.
But yeah, no, Reiki, of course, always has to make our list. I feel like Reiki is really good at giving you whatever you need. So when you're in a slump, it can help bring you out of it, help energize you. But if you feel like you're vibing too high and you're too energized, it can also calm you down. So I really like for a Reiki practice when I'm in a piss poor mood and wanting to activate some creativity, I tend to focus on my legs for a little grounding, clearing the energy out through the soles of my feet. And then the solar plexus, which is a really powerful center for motivation, confidence, creativity, all of that.
I don't know if anybody else will relate to this, but I often experience blocks in my creativity with blocks in my third eye. I've experienced that a lot recently. And so I actually meant to tell you about this this morning, but I had such a wild experience last night doing Reiki where I was doing distance Reiki, but I was in my bed. Like I was doing it on myself, but I was in my bed because I had both my hands on my cats and I didn't want to move my hands for my cats.
Naturally.
This is probably
relatable.
That's my biggest advertisement for Reiki 2, where you learn how to do distance Reiki, is that you can do Reiki on yourself, but you don't have to move your hands as what I would call myself a hashtag lazy girl, hashtag lazy girl Reiki. But I felt naturally like pulled towards the top of my head. And without even like thinking about it, I could see myself just pulling these strands out of the top of my head. And I was filled with a lot of like pent up energy right before I went to sleep last night. Sorry, I'm totally derailing this piss poor mood podcast.
I love this.
Tell you something that I just like wanted to tell you. But I could see myself like pulling these little strands out of the top of my head. And like truly, I could like, in my mind's eye, see myself. I could have like walked backwards for like 5-10 feet with these strands. And they just kept coming and coming and coming until I eventually just like fell asleep.
Okay. My truth is I know exactly what you're talking about. I get that a lot with clients, but I don't see them as strands. I see them as spaghetti because they're kind of like wet noodly in there. Okay. Their weight and feel.
Yes, yes, yes.
But yeah, now that you mentioned it, I hear that a lot from like people who experience creative blocks or are feeling like stuck in some way. Usually a lot of times the people I work with have some sort of like creative aspect to their careers, whether they're a business owner or they're writers or whatever. Or they have like some sort of hobby that sort of like consumes their life. They're dancers, they're writers, they're artists, whatever. And so that's so interesting. I never thought of that before, but it makes sense, right? Because like so much of our creativity comes from our intuition, our inner knowing, our wisdom that's within us. And when we can't tap into that, of course we're going to feel blocked. Of course we're going to feel stuck because then you're just trying to create from your mind and your mind is trying to compete with everyone else out there where your intuition doesn't care about what else is out there or doesn't care about the potential outcome of the creation. It just wants to create.
Yes. And I think that's such an important lesson for anyone listening. Like you hear there are very specific things associated specifically like within the chakra system. You always hear solar plexus as the center of creativity, which is true.
I think of sacral too as creativity. Yeah.
Oh, wait, sorry. It is sacral, not solar plexus.
It's kind of both.
Okay.
In my opinion, they're like when it comes to creativity, it's a little bit of both, right? Because the solar plexus is so connected to our confidence, our willpower, our personal power, and our motivation. So if you don't feel confident, you're not going to feel creative, right? Mm-hmm. That's where we start to overthink our creation. And then sacral is so connected to our ability to create, right? Mm-hmm. The pleasure and procreation are sort of the two main themes. And so this idea that, I mean, they're never separate, right? Because you're all connected.
Yeah. And that's kind of exactly what I was trying to say is that
yeah,
if you get too granular about which chakra is connected to what thing and, oh, I know I need to heal my heart, so I'm going to focus all of my energy on my heart chakra, they are all in conversation with each other. And so letting that kind of intuition maybe guide the way a little bit more and see how your sacral could impact your heart or your root and how they all are all kind of working together.
Yeah, like in my brain, as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I could name a way that every single chakra is connected to creativity, right? Your root, if you don't feel safe, if your basic needs aren't being met, you're not going to feel creative. If your sacral is blocked, right, you have you're really, really stuck in your emotions, right? Emotions can be so powerful for creativity. Just think of Taylor Swift. Channels her emotions in her songs and is uber creative, but it can also block you, right? Think of Pharah
to this week's episode of A Court of Molly and Madison.
Pharah in the third ACOTAR book, no spoilers, but her creativity is a little bit blocked, right? Because she is so overcome with emotions. Maybe it's the second book. I can't remember.
It is the second book, I believe.
Okay. All right. And then like your confidence, your solar plexus, your confidence, if you don't feel confident, you're going to be second guessing everything you create. You're going to be editing yourself and not able to create from that place of authenticity. Your heart, if you don't feel that self-love, right? If you don't feel that self-worth, you don't feel worthy of creating what's in your soul, in your intuition. And also, I think creativity is a path of connecting with others, right? Part of what makes like art is the connection that other people have to it, right? Art doesn't exist in a vacuum. And then the throat chakra is so connected to our ability to communicate the inside out, right? What's within us, what we want to share outward. And then the third eye for intuition, like we talked about. And then the crown, it's like, I think so many of the best artists are able to channel their art from somewhere else. Like you mm-hmm. and I have talked about this, is just kind of like drop into that flow state. And that's very crown chakra. So there you go. That's your chakras 101 that everyone's been asking us for.
Yeah. And I know we've gotten a lot of messages about a full episode on chakras. Just know that it is coming.
Yeah. When we're not in a piss poor mood, we'll record.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But there's your taste. So you can really, it could be any of them. I always recommend like starting from the bottom up. Right. Mm-hmm. Because if your foundation is your root chakra, that's your basic needs, your safety, security, and belonging. If the foundation of your house was wonky, you wouldn't be focused on repairing the roof. Right. Mm-hmm. Until that foundation is stable, everything else is going to wobble. So starting there and working your way up.
All right. And next on our list, this ties pretty closely in with Reiki, but we're going to touch on it anyways, is meditation. Mm-hmm. Meditation can be as much as, you know, an hour long sit or one nice deep breath.
Yeah. I really like an active meditation when I'm in a creative slump, like going for a walk in nature mm-hmm. or like dancing around in my living room. Whenever I feel like this is not going to surprise any regular listener, but whenever I feel like I don't have the motivation or the energy to film, I just put on a little ditty called Aaron's Party Come Get It. Mm-hmm. And I perform that with 110% of my energy in my kitchen mm-hmm. for my dogs.
Yep.
Works every time.
This is my formal request. Molly, if you don't know, does meditations on YouTube and they are fabulous. This is my official request for a meditation for a piss poor mood.
I have one.
What do you mean? Is it called meditation for a piss poor mood? Have I missed it?
No. I'm going to write that down though.
I want that
for like frustration.
No, I need piss poor mood and you know exactly okay. what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Got it. All right. Next is if you want to work with crystals, a good combo that maybe if you look in a crystal book, you're not going to see this combo for creativity, but I'm going to tell you this combo because it works every time. You're going to hold in one hand a stick of selenite, satin spar, selenite specifically, and then in the other hand, clear quartz. And you are just going to sit, okay, and feel their energy move in through your palms. And do that for like 5 or 10 minutes. I swear, every single time I wake up on the wrong side of the bed, I do this, feel instantly better. It just completely clears. Selenite's really good for clearing the energy out and sort of like bringing you to a higher state of frequency. And then clear quartz amplifies. So it amplifies that energy. So think of it like clearing the yuck out and then amplifying that creative energy within.
You've talked about that combo for as long as I've known you, and I love it so much. It has become like a go-to for me for absolutely anything.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I feel like shit, I'm like, here we go.
Mm-hmm. And if you've listened to the podcast before, you'll know that I am not someone that often works with crystals. And that is something that I find myself drawn back to because I feel like no matter what it is that I'm experiencing, I always know that I want to clear out the yuck and bring in the yum. Whatever the mm-hmm. yuck is and whatever the yum is, mm-hmm. I know that I can go back to center with those two things.
Yeah. Yeah. Which leads us to our next one, which is self-care. Yeah. And I think this one is important because, I mean, I know everyone tells you, like, have you done your self-care? But really, when we talk about self-care, we mean kind of like the magic in the mundane. Like, mm-hmm. have you had a good meal lately? Mm-hmm. Did you get enough sleep last night? Mm-hmm. Maybe you need a shower. maybe you need a walk, right? Like treating yourself kind of like, I heard someone say for self-care, you should treat yourself like a toddler.
Uh-huh.
And instead of getting mad at yourself for being like in a piss poor mood, just be like, okay, do I need a snacky? Do I need a nappy? Do I need a walkie? Right? Have I gotten outside enough? Have I seen humans enough?
Yeah. And I think especially like prioritizing that self-care that is not super sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Like making sure that you ate lunch is not like sexy cucumber on your eyes, floating yeah. in a luxurious bath self-care. But I think it is the most effective form of self-care. And especially if you have a squiggly brain, it is the self-care that gets ignored the most.
Yeah.
Especially because we talk so much about the 5-minute ritual and how much more mm-hmm. effective it is. Specifically in self-care, I find myself prioritizing the 60-minute, you yeah. know, everything shower with my favorite food and my favorite show and like the very TikTok appropriate self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And that, even when I'm doing it often, even if I'm like once a week treating myself to the sexiest of yeah. self-care, that does nothing for me in comparison to the day-to-day less exciting, are you moving your body?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sitting slumped over in your chair all day? Are you eating lunch?
Yeah.
Are you sunning yourself like a little lizard every once in a while?
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to one of my Reiki training graduates the other day about this. And the way I describe it is like self-care is kind of like eating. Sometimes you want a big meal and sometimes you want a little snicky snack.
Mm-hmm.
But what you don't want to do is just eat once a week and then not eat the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to decide based on your level of hunger. You got to decide based on your level of energy,
mm-hmm.
right? For me, I know I feel really good when I cook a big old meal and I sit down at the table and I got my little napkin, I got my water. But I know for me, that is so unrealistic. That when I have a week that is really busy, which is most weeks because mm-hmm. that's who I am as a person, I just need something I can pop in the microwave in like 2 or 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a long time, that was literally like I went to the Dollar Tree and got like fettuccine Alfredo. Oh God, I miss fettuccine Alfredo. Like the microwavable ones.
My dairy-free queen.
Because I couldn't even do like, oh God, I know.
My dairy-free, gluten-free vegetarian queen. Who can have nothing commonly associated with fettuccine Alfredo. Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
I know. It's sad for me too. I would just stock my freezer full of them and I would just nuke them, you know, every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because as long as I'm eating, fed is best.
Mm-hmm.
Fed is best. Now I've upgraded to like a meal prep service that sends me 6 meals a week and I'm guaranteed to be fed. And it feels a little bit more healthy than fettuccine Alfredo for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But I think like if, again, it comes down to that foundation. If your basic needs aren't being met, if you haven't had food, water, if you're feeling like you're like constantly behind on bills, don't have enough money, like that is going to impact your level of creativity. So instead of being mad at yourself for that, how can you soothe yourself so that you can access that more creative side that's underneath it?
Yeah. And this next one on our list kind of ties in with self-care. For me, this is a self-care task that I put off far too often, which is cleansing your space in the physical realm.
Mm.
I love to do a little smoke cleanse. I love to do a little sound cleanse. But Molly and I exchanged photos of our offices this morning, and it is clear that neither of us is cleansing our space in the physical world.
To be fair, Sundays, we record the podcast on Mondays, and Sundays I clean my entire house. And I just kept looking at my office, which, remind you, I have a thermal printer that I just set up an hour ago, mm-hmm. and I have 60 to 80 certificates in envelopes just on the floor,
mm-hmm.
ready to be stamped. I said to myself yesterday, that office, that's going to be Monday Molly's problem.
Yep.
And Sunday Molly just closed the door.
I've been saying that about my office for probably the past 6 months. I'm moving this summer, and that has been my excuse to say fuck off to any task that needs doing for the entirety of 2024. I even, Molly and I like planned an entire mundane magic series for her to so she can come down when I move and teach me how to clean. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for that.
It's how I write off my plane ticket.
Exactly. It's how we get to hang out.
Yeah, but I feel so much better when my space is clean. I say, so last night, this ties in. This is an aside that actually ties in. I film my reels in my kitchen, and I usually film them Monday morning before we record. And last night at like 10 o'clock at night, I was cleaning the kitchen, and I come up to bed, and Justin's like, "Baby, you didn't have to do that. Like, you've been cleaning all day. I could have taken care of it after work tomorrow." And I was like, "I know." But he's like, "Wait, do you have to film in the kitchen tomorrow?" I'm like, "Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I do. I have to wake up to the clean kitchen." Like, I don't know what it is, but my pathway from my bed to when I start working has to be clean. Like, the living room, I walk through the living room, the bathroom, the kitchen. Like, that has to be clear of clutter for my brain to be clear enough to be in that ultra creative, motivated space.
Yeah, I get that. For me, that path is my entire home.
Yeah.
And so that does make it a little bit difficult. The only thing I don't touch really is my kitchen. And so that's a disaster nightmare zone.
Fair, fair, fair.
But I think that we've talked about it before where like stuff holds so much energy. And so especially mm-hmm. like if you're like me, I'm a little bit of a maximalist. You've heard me talk about this before. Same. I love a tchotchke. Mm-hmm. I love just a little something, something. And even something like dusting. A small task that kind of like stirs up that energy, even like rearranging things, moving things around, can change the energy of a space. Mm-hmm. And maybe that piss poor mood is coming from stagnant energy. Maybe it's not even inside you.
Yeah. Honestly, like I've been in such a motivated creative space the last month. I think because I've been doing so much decluttering. Mm-hmm. Like honestly, as I'm looking around, I'm like, this is the only space I haven't done that too. Mm-hmm.
I need to join you in your one box a week challenge. I keep saying
it's
I'm going to do
really
it.
Fun.
I do have a box sitting by the door that I just need to take down to my car. And I know when I do it, I'll feel so good about myself.
Okay. But here's the thing. What would feel better? Taking that one box or letting four boxes stack up and then taking all four of them and knowing you only have to do it once a month?
That would also probably feel good. But then I have to find more boxes. I only have one box.
See, and this is where the meal delivery.
I know. As I'm going to be so honest with you, as you were talking earlier, when you were talking about your Cookunity, I had to go into my meal delivery service that I don't like very much and make sure I had skipped this week because I'm too anxious to cancel it because you have to talk to a person. And so I just keep skipping it every week.
I'll just say, I love Cookunity as someone who doesn't eat meat, gluten, or dairy. There is like at least a dozen options for me. We're not sponsored by them yet, but I will leave my referral code in the show notes. So the first five people who use it will get $50 off their first box.
And y'all better be quick.
If you want to.
Because one might be me.
It is great. It is lovely, fresh food, delicious. They have lots of options. You can sort by your allergens. It's great. It has changed my life. Okay, so the last one is a little bit of a maybe a little cliffhanger because maybe we'll do a whole episode on this if you're interested, which we know you will be. So we actually know when we're going to be in a piss poor mood mm-hmm. ahead of time. We have it marked in our calendar because Madison and I, our energy cycles and also our menstrual cycles are synced up. And whether you menstruate or don't, you have an energy cycle in your creative process. And so like there is a specific Monday once a month that Madison and I show up to record the podcast in this mood. Uh-huh. Every month it happens. And every month we go, God, why are we both in a piss poor mood? And then we look at the calendar and we go, oh.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
Yeah.
And this is something that I've really done a deep dive on in like the last 6 months, I guess, probably. Since this is maybe like me going into TMI land, but I don't really care. If you guys want to talk more about this, I really could talk about it all day. I recently went off of hormonal birth control. I know that that's not something that's for everyone. For me, it was taking a real toll on my mental health in a way that was not... I had to do a, you know, a risk reward assessment and mm-hmm. came in the place of I needed to get off of the pill. And so that caused a hyper-focus on the menstrual cycle itself.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned so much about myself and have been able to give myself grace in a way that I did not think was ever possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I have talked your motherfucking ear off about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, even if you don't have a menstrual cycle, you have an energetic cycle. Mm-hmm. And so you can start to track when you feel most creative. Is it, and even beyond the scope of like within the month, but like within the day, I know for me, I am most creative and motivated in the morning, even though I'm not a morning person traditionally. If I don't film in the morning, I'm not gonna, like, the energy is just off. So for me, I block out my mornings for those more creative projects and my afternoons for more administrative or meetings or things like that. That's why most of my trainings are in the morning. People always ask me like, oh, would you do a training at night? I don't know, because I would not be my best, like I would not be able to bring my best energy. This is my truth. If I had like an 8 o'clock at night training. And so you can start to track instead of seeing your dip in motivation, dip in creativity as a bad thing, see it as a data point.
Mm-hmm.
And just start to track. Maybe you have a calendar and it's like, okay, 2 p.m. Wednesday the 23rd or whatever, I felt less creative. But Monday, I felt super creative until like 11 a.m. And once you start to get to know your energy cycle, you can plan around it. So Madison and I know once a month we do a quote unquote easy episode, which is usually like a low effort blank blank ritual,
yes,
or a Q&A are both really easy for us. And then, you know, when we do the deeper dive episodes, we want to save those for like next week or the week after when we both have more creative energy. And so you can start to plan your life around your energy cycle. And then it makes it so much easier to amplify the cycle that you're in and to give yourself grace when you're not in that like really zhuzhed up, you know, motivated creative energy that none of us are in that 24/7.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the biggest things that I've learned from you and my friendship with you has given me is like that permission, because it has happened multiple times where we get on Zoom and we're both in that piss poor mood and you'll say to me, well, what if we just record another time, another day when we're feeling better? And it took me a little while to be like, oh, that's allowed.
Yeah.
Like we're allowed to change our schedules based on how we're feeling.
I mean, we are, not everyone is.
But there are.
That's a privilege we have.
Yes, that is a privilege we have. But also, I think there are ways in any environment to do that. In like, so if it's not rearranging your entire schedule,
rearranging your to-do list.
Yes, rearranging your to-do list or rearranging your day.
Yeah. Like, even as simple as, like, for me, I know I feel best. I used to feel best when I exercised at night. That was like when I was working a 9-to-5, I would work out at night and it would be just like this total cleanse of my day. Now I've noticed I am a morning exerciser. And I think it's because the rest of my like energy has changed from when I was like, you know, responsible for being an employee to now being responsible for being the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like a morning exerciser. That feels better to start my day with that energy. So interesting. So interesting. Let us know if you want like a full episode on this because I feel like we could talk about this for hours.
Yes. I think energy cycle tracking is so cool and something that really can benefit you no matter how you operate in the day to day or no matter what your like work-life balance looks like. I think there's a way to fit it into any kind of lifestyle.
Yeah. Agreed. And it feels really fucking magical, especially when you bring the moon into it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We'll leave you there with that cliffhanger.
I think we did it.
We did it.
How's your piss poor mood feeling? My piss poor mood is feeling better.
I feel better. I'm actually really excited to print some stamps.
I guess our final tip is being creative is a great way to move through your piss poor mood when you're not feeling creative. It's just do it anyways.
I really thought you were going to say being creative is a great way to be creative. I was like, yeah, Madison, end with that strong, strong mantra.
I'm always here to bring you the hard-hitting facts. Creativity is creative.
It reminds me of, okay, last aside, and then we'll wrap this up. When I was in elementary school, I won an award for the most colorful haiku. I have it memorized. Do you want to hear it?
You know I do.
Orange is orange. Orange is really orange. Orange is orange.
In elementary school, I won a competition that we had to see who could pick up as many little pieces of bubble gum with chopsticks.
And that, my friends, describes our sames and differences.
We love you. See you next week.
Love you. Bye. Bye. Thanks for listening to Demystify Magic with Molly and Madison. If you want to learn more about us, you can find all our links in the show notes.
We'd love to know what you think of today's episode, so drop us a review or give us a shout out on social media. And don't forget to let us know your magical moment of the week. Okay, love you.
Bye.